I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. When I was a boy, I went with my father and grandfather to a football game in the Orange Bowl in Miami. During a lull in the action, Granddaddy and I left our seats to go get snacks and to go to the bathroom. Somehow, along the way to the bathroom, he and I lost sight of each other. After looking in vain for Granddaddy, I waited in the bathroom for a long time, until both father and grandfather showed up. The parental and grandparental joy at finding me safe soon soured into a lecture on not getting lost at the Orange Bowl. But after all these years, I still remember my reaction to the lecture. I wasn't lost. I was right here. Granddaddy was lost. Being lost may be a function of where you're standing. But as far as I can tell, lost is like not being where you're supposed to be. A child may be lost. A book may be lost. A cause may be lost. And in all cases, the world is not the way it's supposed to be. If all were well, there would be no missing children, no favorite sweaters lying unknown in a box somewhere, no humiliated armies limping home in surrender. Lost, not being where you're supposed to be. Being lost, which can be terrifying or serendipitous or frustrating, is the password that opens the conversation with the Bible offered us in the liturgy today. In the Gospel of Luke, both the sheep and the coin are lost. Neither one was where it should have been. The lamb should have been with the rest of the flock, not off by itself. The coin should probably have been dangling on the woman's headdress, along with the 9 other coins, adorning her head and not lying on the dark floor. It makes no difference to Luke's theological purpose that the coin inanimately fell into lostness while the sheep wandered away. They are both lost. And with parallel and parabolic anxiety, the shepherd and the woman begin to search. But the sheep and the coin are not nearly as lost as the restlessly dancing people of Israel, appeasing a new god at the base of the mountain. This is the story of the golden calf, one of the grandest of all Bible metaphors for idolatry and impatience. We find it right in the middle of the lawgiving at Sinai, and it threatens the covenant. It threatens the whole covenant between the people and God. In spite of everything God has done for them, the Exodus and their deliverance, all the fear and hope that went with that, their escape through the water to safety, and their wandering to the desert, in spite of all that God had done for them, Moses had not even come back down the mountain with the tablets of the law before the people were where they weren't supposed to be, dancing around a false image of God. Attaching this reading to the gospel parables says that the story of the divine redemption includes a history of human resistance and rebellion. As long as we only heard the parables, we would have a way out. Because if being lost were just a result of falling off a headdress or wandering away, God's finding us would not mean all that much. Neither the shepherd nor the woman hesitated a moment before searching for the lost one. But the people put themselves in a bad place. They were very far from where they ought to have been. And so, sounding a lot like I do when I don't want to be identified with my misbehaving child, you know, saying to my wife, "Your son," God said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people," God says to Moses, "your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. Lest you and me start over," said God to Moses, let those people stay lost. But like Abraham before him, remember Abraham arguing at Sodom about if God could find 10 righteous people, he would save the city? Just like Abraham, Moses dared remind God to be God. Why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? They are clearly not where they're supposed to be, said Moses. But I implore you, change your mind. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel. These are their children. Remember them. They are lost. Go find them. I'll go with you. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. The good news celebrated by the church today is that God searches for those who are lost until they are found. Say that again. The good news celebrated by the church today is that God searches for those who are lost until they are found. This, says Luke, is the way God is. But ironically, we need the story from Exodus to fill the room with grace. The parables don't go far enough. For throughout the Bible, and you know this is true, being lost is not just staying behind while the flock moves on. It is not just being jostled off a headband onto the floor. Being lost is not just a matter of not knowing better. Being found is so redemptive because being lost is pretty much a matter of putting ourselves where we're not supposed to be. Willfully, deliberately, fitfully, anxiously, angrily, we move away. Some of us all the way to the far country, like the younger son in the parable that follows in Luke. But even then, God changes his mind, and God remembers, and God comes to find us. The little boy in the Orange Bowl bathroom was lost, even though he didn't think he'd made himself lost. But in the years since, I have more than once been where I wasn't supposed to be, and it was my choice. Wonderfully enough, I've been found every time by God or by those through whom I know God. And I'd like to think that each time I'm found, there is as much joy in heaven as there was so long ago in the faces of two anxious men who found a small boy in the Orange Bowl. Amen.